Today on Real Radio.
And herein lies the great rift, the great divide between recreational Christianity and biblical Christianity. Recreational Christianity is, God, I'm going to give you an hour and 15 minutes. And oh, brother, if we go to Calvary Chapel, an hour and 30 minutes. I mean, God knows I'll give Spielberg 3.5 hours a week. But Jesus, maybe he'll get an hour and a half. And that's it. Don't ask anything of me, God, after that. I give you about an hour and a half on my Sunday and just stay out of my life the rest of the week. People think that way. That's religiosity, my friend, by the way. That's professional religious conduct. It's tradition. Not acceptable to God.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at part of chapter 5, where the Messiah told Matthew Levi, the tax collector, "Follow me." What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, it may or may not mean what you think. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called How to Follow Jesus.
How do I know I'm a disciple? Lord, I leave all. Because that's true, I'm going to rise up now and I'm going to go. I'm going to follow you, Jesus, wherever you go. And herein lies the great rift, the great divide between recreational Christianity and biblical Christianity. Recreational Christianity is, God, I'm going to give you an hour and 15 minutes. And oh, brother, if we go to Calvary Chapel, an hour and 30 minutes. I mean, God knows I'll give Spielberg 3.5 hours a week. But Jesus, maybe he'll get an hour and a half. And that's it. Don't ask anything of me, God, after that. I give you about an hour and a half on my Sunday and just stay out of my life the rest of the week. People think that way. That's religiosity, my friend, by the way. That's professional religious conduct. It's tradition. Not acceptable to God. Not good. But a person who is ready, like Matthew Levi, to leave all and to rise up and to follow Christ, that's the person that says, I give you, listen, church, I'll put the most important last. Most important will be last in my analogy here. I'll give you, here, God, here's some money. Money's not that important to us anymore. There's something more important than that. Secondly, energy. I'll give you my strength, God. Take it. Most important. What is it? That's right. Time. Time. I recently heard someone who was paid $9,000 an hour. Now, he only works a couple hours a month, but $9,000 an hour. Say, well, let's think about that for a moment. No, leave all. No, you don't want to meditate on that. You'll go nuts. It's the time. It's not the money. So we say things like this to God. If we're not his follower, here's $5. And a lot of times we're worshiping, right? We're supposed to be worshiping. When we give God $5 because it's what we can afford, it makes us feel better. And then we quickly gloss over that and keep going. Or, you know what? I'm going to go down to the church and vacuum an aisle of one of the hallways there, and that'd be okay. I'll give God some energy. We might even say, you know what? I'll give an hour's time to go to Hillview Acres and comfort one of the orphans there. Or maybe I'll join Pastor Bruce and go into the prison and see some of the youth. I'll give an hour to that. That's not Matthew's heart. Matthew encountered Jesus, and what came out of it was an action. God, I leave everything. In his declaration of leaving everything, he is announcing that I no longer belong to myself. I am not, and listen, he wrote it, Matthew 16, I am not going to seek my own life anymore. God, you made me. My breath belongs to you. I thought, silly me, I thought it belonged to the Roman Empire until now. I've been paying that stupid tax thinking that my breath belonged to the Roman Empire. It doesn't. The Roman Empire, in fact, belongs to God. America belongs to God. China belongs to God. Japan belongs to God. He's the creator of heaven and earth. The IRS, it belongs to God. They don't know that yet. They'll find that out. It's all his. How dare I say, well, God, this is the way it's going to be. I'll follow you here, here, and there, but not here and there. If I'm going to be a true disciple like Matthew, I'm going to follow him. And I have no rights. We talk about human rights, and we should. Valuable, God-given rights. But when it comes to the Christian, what right do I have? I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. I'm his disciple. The master could say, stand up. Sit down. Go over there. This or that. I'm his disciple. Thank God you worship the Lord who will only tell you that which is of holy, precious, and a blessing. You know that? He's so good. By acting. Thirdly, verse 29, by responding. Responding and living. We simply respond to him by living our lives. I love this. And this is almost too simple. We could easily miss it. Then Levi, can you circle the word then? It demands that there was an action that happened in his life. Something happened to Matthew Levi that caused verse 29 to be written. Then, an explosion took place. Then Levi gave. Circle the word gave. The word in Greek to give means that he cast everything. In fact, the word means to cast the entire line out into the water, to pour out the entire contents. It means to hand over everything, to give it all. Can you imagine going fishing with this guy? The word means that he didn't cast his line into the water with a little bobber. He took all the line on the pole and the pole and threw it all in and said, you catch the fish, God. Isn't that great? Levi, you're nuts. You'll never catch a fish that way. You got to hold on to the pole. Levi says, you know what? It's all God's business. I don't even care anymore. It's all his. He owns me. Here's the line. Here's the bobber, the hook, the bait, and the pole. And he throws the whole thing in the pool. I mean, not the pool. That's the extent of my fishing is the pool. That's how we're supposed to come. We need to ask ourselves this morning, is that how I'm coming to Christ? Or am I holding things back? We're to respond by living. It says here that he gave Jesus a great feast in his own house. Do you know what's implied? He did it with his own money. In his own house. The beautiful thing about Jesus, when he comes into the vicinity of anybody for any time, for any reason, is that whenever he comes into somebody's life, when Jesus meets someone, and when someone meets Jesus, they either go away completely blessed and complete or bitter and all defensive about something. Jesus, wherever he comes, there's an answer, and there is a certain response. And Jesus, here we see Levi responding to the love of God, and his life is filled with joy. He holds a great feast. Noted in your Bible, highlighted if you wish, it's a feast. It's not a funeral, it's a feast. And I tell you, the Middle East, they know how to throw a feast. They know how to party. Food is the best. A couple of weeks, we're going to be there. Oh, the food is the best. And just the interaction. They touch. You know they touch. I know we do at Calvary too. Some of you guys are visiting and you have a hard time. I had someone tell me a couple of months ago, I had a hard time coming to the church because everybody hugs each other. Drove me nuts. I know that's kind of tough. But in the Middle East, man, you meet somebody and there's a connection, they're all over you. How are you, Jack? They do, they kiss you and it's interesting, it's beautiful. He's throwing this great feast. Levi is hosting this and he's doing it with a deep, true appreciation. And it's being expressed by his joy, by his love. He's left all. He rose up. He's following Jesus. And a great thing happens. And so his life has been changed. He's got real life now happening. He's enjoying an entirely new existence. He gave it all. You know, you can jot down this verse, and I'll just quote it to you. It's Mark 12:41. Talk about giving our lives, you know, to the Lord. When we sing, we better be careful that we sing and meaning it. Not like this. Church, look at me. Not like this. I praise you, Lord. I lift up my hands. What? Oh, we're done with that song. What's the next? Don't do that. Just sit there like a lump on a log. Don't do that if you don't mean it. If you mean it, then raise your hands or bow to your knee or what? Sing. I don't care. Just, if you mean it, do it. But here's the thing. From our singing to our songs to the passing of the offering to whatever we do, is it something like Levi? It is our all. Is it our all? Is it what we can afford, or is it what our hearts would do? And in Mark chapter 12 is an amazing setting. Jesus and the disciples, they're sitting around. Must have been a place of observation at the temple, and people are coming by and they're giving money. Now watch this. Read it later in its detail. But they have the coffers, and they look like trumpets turned upside down. And it held money for the offerings. Now watch. The Bible says, Jesus said that as the people walked by, the rich people gave out of their abundance. They came by, and this guy's a millionaire, so he comes by and he gives $1,000. That's okay. That's between him and God. But here's the problem. Jesus said that these kinds of people, they do things to be seen by men. And you know what we know from archaeological discovery and from history? They had pinky trumpets. Finger trumpets. You know your pinky? They had a little, it was metal, it wrapped around your finger, and it was a little trumpet. And you could blow it. See, what's that have to do with anything? This is what they would do. They would walk along, and all of their wealth, and they would take out $1,000. Everyone would go, ah, but not until he would go, dee, 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 dee. Dee, dee. Ka-plunk. He would drop in his stash of cash. Have you ever heard the term, he's tooting his own horn? That's where it came from. He's just blowing his own horn. Dun, 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 dun. Boom! Off he goes. Everybody would go, oh, wow! Did you hear that? That's a lot of money that guy gave. Woohoo! Wee! Jesus said, look at them. And then a little lady came by. A little old lady, and it said that she had just two mites. They are about a third of the size of a U.S. penny. And she drops it in. Ding, ding. Just a little and people just, hey, lady, get out of the way, will you? Get out of, move over. We got to get the big hitters coming here. The big givers. Here comes the big givers. They don't care about this lady. Jesus said, hey, disciples, come here, look. See that little lady? She gave more than all of these people. They must have been thinking, what is he thinking? He said, you see, here's the deal. She gave out of her livelihood. The word in Greek is bios. She gave out of the very money she needs to live for the remainder of this day. She's got nothing left. Can't you see the smile on his face? She's got nothing left. Peter, did you get that? She's got nothing left. I'll take care of her. God will take care of her. You know how the Lord is. That lady probably had money all her life when those guys probably ran out of money. That's how faithful the Lord is. But she gave out of her abundance. Matthew's like that. I give it all. Second point, verses 30 to 32. We want to submit. We want to humbly submit to the Lord. And we do that in truthfulness, in all truthfulness. Watch what happens. Verse 30, we want to submit to him in truthfulness. It says, their scribes and Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Church, get the picture. The scribes and the Pharisees are verbally attacking. That's what the word complain means. In Greek, they are verbally attacking Jesus? No. Who? His disciples. And this is what they're saying. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? They're not even asking the question. Yes, it's structured as a question in grammar. They don't care about the answer. They're attacking. We know this by the word complaining. They are attacking. Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Why are you doing this? Why? It almost hints of the voice in the Garden of Eden when Satan came and said, why this and how come that? He doesn't care about the answer. He's trying to sow a division. Satan is. And these scribes and Pharisees are trying to sow division between whom? Jesus and his disciples. They don't ask Jesus the question. They're terrified of him. Not because Jesus embarrasses them, it's just that he's right every time. So they've had enough of that, so they go to the disciple. Have you ever been attacked for standing up for what Jesus says? You're in good company. Have you ever been mocked or ridiculed or complained against because God said to do it this way and nobody understands? Do it God's way. But Pastor, people are going to yell at me. Let them yell. Better to have people yell at you than God. Well, they're not going to be happy. Better to have people unhappy than God unhappy. Obey him. Follow him. These men begin to attack the disciples. Now, you've often heard me say, let the Lord defend you. Well, this is exactly what happens right here. Jesus will defend them. But before we leave this point, these religious leaders had lost the perspective of what ministry was for. They should have learned in their own scriptures that in Micah 6:8 taught and said, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord desires of you. He requires you to be just and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. They had lost that. They had divided the Jews away from common people. They had taken the religious people away from those that were ostracized. And they had lost the vision of reaching those that were out. They had Judaized, as it were, the scriptures and saddened the scriptures. It's very, very sad, very tragic. In the book of Acts chapter 15, verse 10 through 11, there the scripture says, Paul says, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? That's what religion does. Paul was speaking to a bunch of professional religionists. It's like me as a pastor saying to you, why don't you pray 10 hours a day? Or else you're not a Christian. You should be given $1,000 a day, or else you're not a Christian. And then Paul would say, hey, Jack, what are you saying that for? You don't even do that. That's wrong. And that's exactly correct. It's wrong. Paul went on to say in the book of Acts 15, verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. By grace, unearned favor. Not by what you do. But in all truthfulness, we need to relate to our wonderful Lord. And these men, these scribes and Pharisees, were anything but truthful. And a yoke bums people out. A yoke burdens. Didn't Jesus say that my yoke is what? My burden is? That's right. Religion yokes people up. What's yoking you? Oh, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. You're not free. I must this and that. Be careful that you know the Lord. It's easy to assume here clearly that Levi was full of joy. Irma Bombeck. Anybody remember Irma Bombeck? She's one funny lady. She said once, and I wrote it down, that she was at her church and a little girl was getting very fidgety in the message, and that little girl was bored to tears. She turned around and began to smile at all the people behind her and make happy faces at them. And when the mother caught on to the faces that she was making and her smiling faces that she was projecting onto other people, Irma Bombeck said the mother turned around or grabbed the child and turned her around and made her sit back down in the pew. And everybody in the church could hear the mother say, stop smiling like that. We're in church. Put on a sad face, you know. These scribes and the Pharisees, did you know that when they fasted, they took ashes from the fire and they wiped their faces white and they put marks underneath their chin to look gaunt, like they've lost weight. And they would fast. And they said that, history says that they would generate some sort of false tears and it would run with the ashes and they would look terribly disfigured. In fact, Jesus said, why do you disfigure your faces like that? Don't do that. Comb your hair and anoint your face and don't let anybody know that you're fasting. It's between you and God. These guys were so theatrical with their pomp and their glory. Oh, we're following God. It's such a burden. Jesus is not into that. Some people think if we're miserable, we must be holy.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called How to Follow Jesus. A how-to study, as it were, taken from Luke chapter 5 and verses 27 through 35. On tomorrow's special edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack has a heart-to-heart with three students, one in high school and two in college. You remember our offer of Pastor Jack's How to Be a Christian While on Campus. Well, our teacher will be exploring that further with his guests on tomorrow's broadcast. How to Be a Christian While on Campus is still available for your tax-deductible contribution of any size to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio. How to Be a Christian While on Campus, on CD or DVD. Visit realradioactive.org for more information. Also, we've been telling you about the final weekend of this month, a very important set of dates. Here's Pastor Jack to tell us more. Pastor Jack?
Mike, I want to thank you for that. We're coming up on our Southern California Bible Conference, and this year's theme is entitled Revolution. There's a lot of talk about revolution these days, and none more needed in the body of Christ than a revolution of revival. And we're excited about the lineup of speakers. It's a three-day conference. It begins on February 26th, 27th, and 28th, right here at Calvary Chapel. And we've got a great lineup of speakers, and I want to just kind of share that a little bit. We've got Dr. David Hawking with us, and this guy is a dear friend, really a father figure to me. Dr. Hawking's going to be speaking on God's offensive plan, and that is the God who keeps his promises. And David Hawking's going to be specifically teaching us regarding what the Bible has to say about the existence of Israel. And then on Friday night, we're going to be having Greg Laurie. Greg Laurie, of course, is pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship. And Greg is going to be talking about No Man Left Behind, Seize the Moment. And that is going to be an incredible challenge to get the gospel out that at a late hour like this in the world in which we live, that everybody needs to be equipped on how to share Jesus Christ. By the way, that's going to be a great time for you to bring someone who does not yet know Jesus as well. We've got Waleed Shubat coming back, and Waleed Shubat is going to be sharing with us a message entitled Primary Target, Will Israel Survive? It's going to be a powerful teaching with Waleed Shubat. We've got Congressman Bob McEwen coming from Washington, and he's going to be talking about tactics for national defense. It's going to be a great teaching. Jay Smith's joining us from London, England, and Jay Smith's going to be teaching us regarding the global reach, answering the challenge of Islam and its expansion. Everyone's going to want to hear that because Islam is expanding in your community, if you haven't caught on. And then, what a treat, we've got General William Boykin with us, and General Boykin is going to be sharing quite a bit, actually. He's going to be one of our conference speakers, and then on Sunday morning, he's going to be doing all three services here at Calvary, and his topics are going to be wars and rumors of wars, and from the general's perspective, he can speak on this, and he's also going to be talking to us about a strategic mobilization for the church in these days. It's going to be a great conference. It begins Friday. Doors open up at 5:30 in the evening. The conference begins at 7, and we've got a great lineup, Mike, and it's all free. The price has been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's free. So come early, pack the place out. Our seating is limited to about 3,000 people, so come early, and we look forward to seeing you here.
Okay, thanks, Pastor Jack. Once again, our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.